Hello, everybody. Hey, Cal Banyan here, and we've got something new. This is episode one of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Celeste Hackett. If you are watching our podcast, you'll know that I did an interview with Celeste Hackett just a couple weeks ago, and it was so good that I said, Celeste, let's do a regular thing. And so if you want to hear all about Celeste's background, go to calbanyan.com, check out the podcasts, and you'll see a really great interview there. Just to get things started, why don't you say hello, Celeste?
Hello, everybody. I'm here in Dallas, Texas, just hanging out with Cal. We've been saying we're going to do this for a long time, and I'm really happy to be a part of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. And I'd especially like the Etc. part because I don't know what we're going to be talking about. It should be really fun.
Wow, she could really talk fast, can't she?
That's sorry.
All right. Hey, so let me just kind of get things started off with some current events. Right, I got a very personal current event that's going on, and one is, hey, I'm really excited to announce that I started a weight loss program to celebrate World Hypnotism Day, and I want to lose a bunch of weight before the NGH convention, and I'm down 35 pounds. So, hey, congratulations for me. Can I get some applause there, Celeste?
Yay. Yeah, woo.
Good. So I'm excited. That's when I first got into the profession. I was actually about 75 pounds heavier than I am now. And so if someone asks you, does hypnosis work for weight loss? Tell them hypnosis is really an important part to any long-term results. If you want to lose weight and get fit. All right. What else is going on here, Celeste? Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you're doing?
Well, you know, I've just been working really hard on sessions. I just got a whole influx of clients, brand new clients, and so I've been doing session after session after session. What happened was I had 2 weeks training with you, Cal, not too very long ago, and while I was training with you, I kept getting phone calls, and so all these clients were waiting when I got out of class. And I'm also getting ready for my very first training class. I'll be training hypnotists to learn 5-path and 7th path. They'll be able to teach 7th path, and also they'll get their NGH certificate. So I'm teaching people to be hypnotists. I'm really excited about it.
Wow, that's really cool. I was so glad to have you in class. And for those that don't know, we've got this totally electronic classroom where whenever I do a class, we broadcast it over the internet, and we had a room full of students, and then we also had a couple of students in other parts of the country, and then we had some people going through their instructors training, one in Texas and one in Singapore, everybody all interacting at the same time. It's really quite an experience. What else is going on with you, Celeste?
Well, you know, really, when you're doing sessions like that, one session after another all day long, you know, after the day is done, you just kind of go to bed. So not a whole lot else, really.
Well, good. And, you know, well, I really appreciate you writing those articles for the Banyan E-Zine, because you're really sharing with people how to get started in the profession. And what's the name of your column? The Frugal Hypnotist?
The Frugal but Professional Practice. And yeah, it just is for people who don't have a lot of money when they get started in hypnosis. Maybe they want to work from home, because that's the way I started. And so I share information on how I did it with very little money. And it's a really fun series that I've really enjoyed writing. Of course, I throw in some things from my radio background. I think the one before this last one I did was all about how to get on the radio, and that was real cool to really sit down and put some thoughts to paper on that. But any hypnotist can get on the radio. You know, one day we'll have to do a podcast on that, Cal.
Well, I'd really like to do that. Just in case you guys don't know, when Celeste talks about being on the radio, she knows what she's talking about, because for years she was a radio personality. And you're right, Celeste, we should do a podcast on that. We'll put that on our schedule of topics. I'm sure I could learn a lot. I've been on the radio a few times too. And boy, I tell you, when you go on the radio, you're going to get a flood of clients. Isn't that right, Celeste?
Oh, I am still getting clients from that radio show. That was back in February.
Yeah, that's right. I remember last time I went on the radio in Minneapolis, we got, and I was on for like just an hour one day in the morning, and we had 50 new clients from that stretched over the next few months. And so it really is a good way. So we'll put that on our to-do list, okay?
Yeah, and you know, if you do that, if you get on the radio, you're going to have to put people on a waiting list. It was just outrageous.
Cool. Hey, speaking of outrageous, I got an announcement to make. I'm really excited. You know, I'm kind of a website junkie, a search engine junkie. I'm really into the internet, and I just bought a new website, and the website is hypnosis.org, and it's the website that Dr. Brian Knight has had for many years, and he calls it the Hypnosis Headquarters, so I'm really excited about that. I want to turn it into really a great resource for hypnotists. We're going to put all kinds of stuff into it. So if you have suggestions, anyone watching this video, about what kind of resources you'd like to have all in one place on the internet, email them to me. My email address is calbanion@hypnosiscenter.com. All right, what else is going on here? Well, we just do a lot of traveling. I went to London and did a Week of Power workshop. That's our advanced workshop. Talking to some people about maybe coming to Australia. I'd really like to come to Australia next year. And then before the year's over, I'm going to Singapore. And Celeste, I should probably, you know, take you on the road with me too. You're the one with all the humor and stuff.
Hey, I'm ready. I'd love to go.
You'd like to go to Singapore?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be fun to do a show from there, wouldn't it?
Hey, it would. It would. Nothing is out of the question, you know.
Cool.
Well, I think that's about it. Anything else you want to talk about? Give them your website, Celeste.
Oh, it's familyfirsthypnosis.com. And that's family first, F-I-R-S-T. Hypnosis.com. And then I have a blog that I do too at familyfirsthypnosis@ourhypnospace.com. And our hypnospace is the place to really have your blog. And of course, you can have a what you call a blog or a website or anything there. It's absolutely free. And being the frugal hypnotist that I am, I love that. And I know a lot of people who are just getting started, you know, over 400 people have already joined, but there's still so many people who need to get on that website and start blogging and start joining some of the groups. You can learn so much there. You can ask Cal questions there, and or at least post your questions. And if you can't get to them, we're going to try to get to as many as we can on our Hypnosis Etc. program that we're doing, and that's what this is. And there's even a group for sharing scripts and a group to help you learn how to do weight loss really well. And you can even start your own group if you want to. So ourhypnospace.com is something that's just, it's incredible. You got to join it.
I'm really excited about it, too. Thanks, Celeste. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is segue me into the next part.
Well, Cal, I think that now comes the time when really we need to start asking you some questions. We're going to kind of put you in the hot seat, but it's no problem for you because you get these questions all the time. But, you know, as I was saying, if you go to ourhypnospace.com, and you go to askcal.ourhypnospace.com, which is one of the groups, you can post a question. And so I'm going to ask Cal some questions. At least one of them came from that particular group. And you can also put anything on there, post anything that you'd like to see us talk about on Cal Banion's Hypnosis, etc. You can ask how to handle difficult clients, just anything that comes to mind. If you have any questions about hypnosis at all, whether it's a beginner question or an intermediate question or an advanced question, that's the place to go to get your questions answered. And I'm just going to start off because this is the part where we kind of segue into a portion of the show that we call, if you don't mind, Cal, Ask Cal. Right?
Celeste, yes, that's what we're going to do. Ask Cal. Before you do that, I want to say one thing. I meant to say it earlier, and that is, you know, you guys that are watching this right now, I want you to know that I'm here in Tustin, California, sitting in front of a video camera, and Celeste is way back out there in Texas doing it. So it might seem like we're in the same location, but she's on site and I'm on site, and it's just really a cool technology type thing we have going here. And I want to really thank John Paul Rollins, our tech guy, he has to edit all this stuff together and all that kind of stuff and make it happen. So thanks, John. I know he's going to kick out of that watching the video. Okay, let me have some questions. And by the way, I don't know what Celeste is going to ask me. If I have too much time to prepare, then my answers will be too long. This way I can just kind of shoot from the hip. If afterwards I think of more information that I should have told you about or additional references, I'll just put them underneath this video right down there on calbanion.com. Okay, Celeste, fire away.
Oh, I like that idea. That's great. Okay. The first question comes from a new hypnotist who says, I am a new hypnotist. A lot of my clients, once they wake up from hypnosis, ask me how they can be sure that they were hypnotized. What's the best thing to say?
This drives me crazy when people say, wake up. Is that why you did that? You know that drives me crazy. Okay, guess what, everybody? Hypnosis is not sleep. Thank you for that question, Celeste. Hypnosis isn't asleep. When you suggest to your clients that they're supposed to go to sleep, and then they don't go to sleep, they'll feel like they've failed, even though they might have been in the right and proper state of hypnosis. So don't suggest sleep. Now, if you watch my videos, sometimes I'll use the word sleep on an instant induction, but I always tell my clients first that if I say the word sleep, I don't mean sleep. I mean, close your eyes, go deeply relaxed as if you were asleep. So if you get to the end of the session and you say, wake up, that implies that they should have been asleep. So don't do that. We want to use the word emerge. And also, what you want to do is start using some, it's time for our profession to move into the new century. To do that, we need to start doing what some of the best hypnotists were doing in the last century. And that is, once you've done an induction, you need to do a covert test, some kind of test for whatever level of hypnosis you need your client to be in for the work you're going to be doing. And once that test has been accomplished, for example, the losing the numbers part of the Dave Elman type inductions. I've got a copy of that in my articles section on hypnosiscenter.com. There's a part in there where we have them continue to say numbers, relax the mind until the numbers are gone, which means they can't remember what the next number would be. And that is a test, for example, for the threshold of somnambulism. Once you've covertly tested for somnambulism, and that's the level that I always work with, because as a five-pather, we do things like age regression, and you need these deep levels of hypnosis. So once you've covertly tested for a deep level of hypnosis, let me explain the word covert. Covert just means covered up. You know, it's secret. So your client, if they fail the test, they don't know they failed. And then you can use another test, do some more deepening, and so on. Once you've got them tested for a deep level of hypnosis, then you could do a overt test, a test that they know that they've passed, like a simple test for like eye catalepsy, which only requires the lightest level of hypnosis. And so you just say something like this: in a moment I'm going to count from 1 to 5 to your hypnotized client, and as I get from 1 to 5, your eyelids will lock down, glue shut, zip tight. 1, locking down, gluing shut, zipping tight, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on, and then say, try to open them, but you cannot. Try, but you cannot. Try, but you cannot. Now, if they don't try, then you need to tell them, go ahead and try. Your eyebrows will move, but your eyelids will remain closed. And what that will do is that will give them the experience of experiencing some hypnotic phenomenon. And then when they emerge from hypnosis, you can call their attention to the eye lock that they just did. And if you don't have them really test so much that they move their eyebrows, then they might say, well, I don't know if I tried very hard. And so you want to make sure that they really, really give it a good test. Does that help, Celeste? I know all that stuff. You want to add anything?
No, it's perfect. And I'm just hoping that whoever wrote this question will be watching Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And I'm sure if they have any further questions to add to that, when they will. Now, another person wrote in, and they asked a question that seemed to me to be more of an intermediate question. And so I just thought I would put it to you. It's kind of long. I thought about cutting it down. You answered it a little bit on the website at AskCal.com. rhypnospace.com, but you said that you could go more in depth, and so I'm going to read it again because there might have been some other stuff in there that you were talking about when you said you wanted to go more in depth. So I want to read it all. You ready?
Okay, I know you can do it because you talk fast.
Okay, she says, and this is from a hypnotist in Ireland, and her name is Helen, and she says, "Hey Cal, thanks in advance for your advice. My client is a lady who presented with a fear of flying, and I did one session with her as a Band-Aid to help her to fly on her upcoming holiday. And she's now returned for the analytical treatment after her holiday, and I'm using 5-PATH with her. She presented with claustrophobia and general anxiety and low energy and mild social phobia. Okay, bringing up the uncomfortable feeling by counting from 1 to 5, she was getting, I guess, ready. She says, bringing up the uncomfortable feeling, counting from 1 to 5, ready for the affect bridge and AR. When I reached 5, the client suddenly started to cry. I presumed that she had gone straight into a revivification and told her it was okay to cry and she would feel better when the feeling was expressed. However, she became scared and closed herself down, and it was subsequently quite difficult to coax her into a revivification. I had to resort to free association to coax some pleasant and neutral memories from her first. At the end of the session, she told me that when I counted her up from 1 to 5 and encouraged the feeling to come up strongly, that it came up so strong that it overwhelmed her. And she felt it come up from the pit of her stomach and into her throat, and she said she was going to be sick. And she forced the feeling back down, as she usually does. That's the way she handles it, because it scares her so much. And it was then, of course, difficult for her to allow further access to the feeling for AR. My question is, how can I bring up the uncomfortable feeling more gently without scaring the client? Or is there a way of calibrating how much the feeling is brought up so that the client is in touch with it enough to get a good AR, but not so much that she becomes distressed? I guess this lady is a psychologist or a psychoanalyst, huh, Cal?
Ooh, baby. That's going to take me about an hour and a half to answer. I know I answered that in just a few paragraphs. I was trying to pull up my answer that I sent off to that hypnotherapist. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to shoot from the hip, just like I said I would. There's and you remind me as we go of what I need to answer, okay?
Okay.
And this will probably take up the rest of the time for this. For this one, and then we'll get this one all published and out there, and we'll begin see how it goes. And I think we'll get you another one out here in hopefully a week or so. All right. One of the things I want to say now, this hypnotherapist who wrote in is in Ireland, and in Ireland, you know, every state, every country of the world has their own rules about the use of words, and, you know, what is and is not practicing medicine without a license, and what is and what is not practicing psychology without a license, and all that kind of stuff. So what I want to say to everyone in the United States is you got to be really careful about making these kinds of diagnoses. And a lot of the language that is used in just common type communication between people is really shouldn't be used by hypnotherapists or hypnotists, and because they imply that you've created a diagnosis. Now, if two friends are talking and say, oh yeah, I got this phobia of spiders, they're not implying that it's a true diagnostic phobia. It means I'm really, really afraid of spiders. But as a professional who's taking money and representing the people in your field, you got to be really careful about saying I treated someone for a phobia, unless that person has been duly diagnosed as having a phobia. And in most places, if that has occurred, that person has been properly referred to you by someone that can diagnose. Celeste, you know what I'm going to do? This is a good question, and I'm going to talk about as much as I can in the time we have allotted for today, and then I'm going to move into it and let it be and finish up in part two. Does that sound okay with you?
Yeah, that sounds good. We only had like 2 or 3 minutes left anyway after the answer to that first one, so I really didn't know whether to ask this one or not.
Celeste, what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer as much as I can in the next 2 or 3 minutes. And then it's such a good question, and there's so much to it that we'll save. I want to give everyone that's watching something, you know, that they can take home with them today, and then go on and go into it even deeper in the next episode. So there I am. Be clean about your terms. Don't start diagnosing people and saying they have a phobia. Even if your client walks in and says, I'm phobic, or I have anxiety, or I have depression, unless they've been diagnosed by a proper psychological professional or medical professional, that they're just talking in general terms, and we don't want to get tied up in that unless we've got the referral and they have been diagnosed. Now, if someone comes to me for a phobia or depression or something like that and they have been diagnosed and I do have the referral from the medical or psychological professional, then what I will do is I will call it a phobia, or I will call it depression, or I will call it an anxiety disorder, because that's what it's been labeled by someone who's trained and licensed to do that. So there we go. I've got that off my chest. And so let's just go through this point by point. So that was the first thing I want to talk about. What's kind of the next thing that was next part of that question, Celeste?
Well, the next thing that she says is that she counted from 1 to 5, bringing up the feeling that the lady had, I guess, for her anxiety. And the lady just came on so strong with these powerful feelings that the client got very scared and kind of sucked them back in. And then at first, Helen thought that because she had such a huge ab reaction that she just had automatically jumped into a revivification. I guess you'd like to speak to that first.
Thank you, Celeste. Exactly. There's a couple of things going on there. Let me clarify for the viewers what's going on here. So here's a hypnotist ready to do some age regression work. And we simply will, then what we'll do is we'll suggest that as we count from 1 to 5, for example, that the feeling, symptom, or thought associated with the problem comes up. And so she probably said something like, in a moment I'm going to count from 1 to 5. As I count from 1 to 5, that feeling is going to come up strong and powerful. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And of course, there's going to be some other suggestions in there. I'm trying to shorten it. You know, like 1, that feeling is coming up strong and powerful. 2, growing inside you, that kind of thing. And what she's trying to do is she wants to do an affect bridge. An affect is just a fancy word of saying emotion or feeling bridge. And when the feeling is brought up, then when someone is in somnambulism, then they're in such a suggestive state that we can say, follow that feeling back to an earlier time that you felt that way. And once that's done, we can use the affect, the emotion, or the symptom, or the cognition, whatever they're thinking, as a bridge. And it'll take us back to an earlier time they felt that way. And then typically we will follow that bridge back to the very first time and begin to do the work there with what's called the informed child technique. Now, a couple of issues came up in this question. And one is, gosh, she became so emotional that the therapist thought, oh, she's already gone back there. And this was an error on the therapist's point, I believe. And that is that she thought just because the emotion was so strong that the client must be in revivification, reliving it. And that's there's no reason to believe that. We would not make that assessment unless the client, we say, be there, what's happening. And then when the client starts describing the situation from the perspective of reliving that event in present tense, then we make the decision. The assessment that my client is in revivification. And that wasn't done at this point. In fact, when we find out that the client actually shut down the emotion and did not, as we find later that she did not actually follow the bridge back, we know that that's why we know that the hypnotherapist was in error by thinking at the time. But you know, sometimes at the end of the session we know more than we did during the session, and so slight mistakes like this can be made, and it's not a big disaster because even though the regression did not occur, we can always do the regression in the next session. So it's not a disaster by any means. What's gone on here, though, is the client has somewhat let out this emotion, which can be very healing, but really should have been done in the reliving of the event. There's so much that can be said about what should have been done here and what she can do in the next session with the client. But we're running out of time for today. We're going to carry this question on into the next episode. Do you think I gave them enough information there, Celeste?
I always say, Cal, leave them wanting more. And that's what you did. And you know what, Helen? You were very brave and you did very well. And I'm so proud of you. And when you tune back in next time, you'll get the rest of the information on this that's going to help you go all the way. And we hope that as you keep working with this client that we just get an update. I think this is great that you're already doing this sort of thing where you're trying to do the regression. You're bringing up the affect. That's really kind of scary to do at first.
Beautiful. That's right, Celeste. You know, this is not a major error. At the most, all you did is was not as efficient as you could have been if you would have recognized what was going on. And I'll bet you that when you then segue from what you did do into the direct suggestion component for what the client came in through, because the client experienced the emotional release, if you tie that together right with a good segue, she's going to have enough success from that session, she'll want to come back and do more. Okay, Celeste, why don't you wrap it up for us, and then we'll see them in the next episode.
Well, that's about it, and we had really fun just being with you, just hanging out with you, talking about hypnosis, and we hope you'll join us next time when we continue with this question. Cal Banyan will answer, you know, what to do next time, just exactly, or the best thing to do with this particular issue and this particular client for Helen. And if you tune in, and you may have a client that has the same sort of reaction, so of course, you're going to find out and learn what you can do in a situation like this. So you're going to want to tune in for next time. And I guess that's about it. You've been watching Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. I'm Celeste Hackett from Dallas, Texas.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only. May not be duplicated without written permission.